Leviticus chapter 9. I don't normally do this, but my dad's here. Dad, stand up. And Mary, his wife Mary. Mary, stand up. This is my dad, Mary. They're hopeless romantics, both of them. My dad's 81 and Mary's 82. And they're traveling the globe constantly. They're from L.A. and they're up here now, so they're all over the place, and so it's good to have you. My dad was a preacher, you know, for years, so I'm preaching to my old man today. Not that I wrote the message just for you, Dad, but... Well, Leviticus chapter 9, beginning with verse 22. Leviticus 9, beginning with verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and of the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. In verse 1 of chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. The dedication of the tabernacle. This is the dedication service. They finally have the tabernacle finished and they're ready to do the dedication service. And Aaron offers the sacrifices. He prepares them on the altar. Comes out and blesses the people. And Moses and Aaron go back inside the tabernacle to spend that time with the Lord. And when they came out, you see, and blessed the folks, fire came out from the Lord somewhere, either down or from wherever the altar was perhaps, and consumed all the offerings that were on the altar. Burn them up. Devoured them. And the people, when they saw the power, the fire from God, they shouted and then they fell down on their faces. It was a real happening. The congregation was excited. They were moved, you might say, because the fire from God came and accepted the offering that was given there. So it was pleasing to God because he brought fire and consumed that offering. And the people were excited and they shouted and cheered and then fell to their faces quietly in a hush in worship. Now, while that's going on, Nadab and Abihu, the two oldest sons of Aaron, the high priest, were told here that they came on the scene and they brought incense and put the incense in their own censers and they offered up strange fire to the Lord. And when they did so, fire came again from the Lord and burnt them up. And they died before the Lord. Well, boy, that puts a damper on your dedication service, doesn't it? I mean, you're dedicating the tabernacle and everybody's having a great time and shouting and falling on their faces. I mean, it's really a happening. We might say it's Pentecostal. Now, what happens? Well, Nadab and Abihu, these sons of Aaron, they bring their fire and their incense and offer it up before the Lord, and they're consumed, they're burned up, dead before the Lord and before everybody else. Now, if you're like most people, you'll read this account, you'll read this story, and you'll probably think, boy, unquestionably, whatever they did here, whatever they did in doing that, the punishment, the discipline seems radical and severe, doesn't it? I mean, this is pretty intense, don't you think? It ruined the whole service. It just blew everything. And the Lord brought fire down to consume these, to kill these guys. But we can't help but ask, can we? What did they do? What did these guys do? And why did what they do cause the Lord to kill them? Why was it such an awful thing that they did? Well, if you've been studying along with us through the book of Exodus and now on into Leviticus, you'll know, you'll understand that really everything these two boys did was wrong. They did everything wrong here. You see, they were the wrong ones, the wrong guys to be handling the incense in the first place. They weren't to handle the incense or light it. I'll just read to you real quickly. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus chapter 30 says there in verse 7, "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps, and even he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour a drink offering thereon." Aaron was to handle the incense and burn it. Him alone. He was to light it up, not these two, you see. Not only that, but they used their own censers, not the high priest's censer, which they couldn't use because they weren't the high priest, you see. They had no authority to do what they were doing, first of all. Understand that. But mostly, as you look at this, you have to see that the fire is the issue here. It's the fire that was wrong. It was strange fire, we're told. It was strange fire. It wasn't good fire. It was strange. It was odd. But what does that mean? What does it mean that these two guys would light strange fire? Well, it was fire of their own. Their own fire, burning their own incense in their own censers. And God had commanded, it says here, that they not do that. The command from God was, don't do that. Don't bring your own fire. Don't bring your own incense. Don't bring your own censer. This fire, see, was theirs. It wasn't the fire that God prescribed for them to bring and use to light incense with. Now, where, pray tell, would the fire to light incense come from, then, if you can't bring your own, if you can't strike up a match or flick a Bic lighter or whatever? Where are you going to get the fire from? Well, over in Leviticus 16, we're told, we're filled in verse 12, it says there, and again, speaking of Aaron, Aaron was to do it, "He shall take a censer full of burning coals," Leviticus 16, verse 12, "He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil." Look at the last line of verse 13. "That he die not." The fire to light incense, the fire to produce this flame that would cause the incense to smolder and smoke and fill the place with that sweet aroma, it was to be lit by Aaron, first of all, the high priest, and the fire was to come from only one place, the altar, where the sacrifice and the burnt offerings were made. That's the only place, you see. Now, here's the question, guys. Why is that such a key? Why is it that the altar has to be used for fire to light the incense? Now, stay with me here. Here's the thing. The fire speaks of that which ignites, lights up, empowers, if you would. The altar of sacrifice. Who lit that altar just a minute ago in the story? God did. He sent fire down from wherever he was, heaven or from before the Lord, it says, and he burnt up that offering that was on the altar. It was God lighting it up. He ignited that fire on the altar of the tabernacle. The priests would traditionally say that that fire stayed lit throughout all their generations. They never let it go out. It was a perpetual fire unto the Lord. You see, it was him, though. It was the Lord who lit that fire in the first place. Now, Jesus, you see, would say there in Acts chapter 1 to his disciples, he said, you disciples shall be baptized with what? Fire from on high. The fire is going to come upon you guys, and you're going to minister. It's going to be a baptism of fire. The fire is going to come from on high. You see, when Nadab and Abihu brought their censers and their incense and tried to light them with their own fire, it was strange fire. It wasn't fire from off the altar, which speaks of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, the cross, the power that Jesus was talking about to his disciples that they would be baptized with. It was him. It was his altar. Their own, you see, fire was fleshly energy. It was just their own thing. Their own idea of worship, their own idea of how to serve God, they were doing it on their own. Not, you see, how God prescribed. God, in fact, commanded them not to do this. He said, don't do it. Don't do that. But they did it anyway. See, Jesus said that the Father seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. Right? That's us, hopefully. Those that would worship him in spirit and truth. But here's the thing. If Jesus is worshiped and served in the spirit, then what is the truth that the spirit reveals? Do you know? John chapter 16. Jesus said this, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And listen, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You see, to worship in spirit, in truth, the Holy Spirit, guys, when he is moving, when he is active in our worship, in our study, in our serving, whatever we're doing, if he's active, then guess who's going to be revealed? Jesus. Always. He is the one the Spirit speaks of. See, Jesus is who we are to acknowledge every time, of course, in our worship and in our service. The Spirit reveals him. So in order for me to worship God in the prescribed way, as pictured here, I've got to worship in spirit. And then the truth is, spirit and truth, the truth is Jesus is going to be shown. It's going to be the motivation for all of it, which is why the fire had to come from off the altar, which speaks of Jesus Christ's sacrifice there on the cross. All the fire comes from there. Nobody is to light fire from any other source than that fire that's on the altar, which is Jesus, you see, him sacrificed for me. Anything other than Jesus' love and sacrifice for me, if that's a reason, guys, listen, for me to serve, it will only cause me to experience what these two did. What? They were burned out. Big time. When they tried to do this on their own energy, their own effort, hey, we'll bring our own fire, they were burned up, burned out. When they tried to serve God with their own fire, God fired them. He said, you're fired, literally. You guys are fired, I'm sorry. And boy, were they. Now, it's amazing to me. It just blows me away. The Lord here, guys, is showing us that he's got some obvious guidelines to worship and serving of him. And I don't think we're necessarily talking about the flavor of worship or the type of serving. That's not the key here, but I really believe what we're supposed to take note of here is why we serve. Why is it that these guys did what they did? Because herein, you see, lies the reality of what the Lord's trying to get across to us, I think, what he was trying to get across to the rest of them there. And do you think that people were paying attention at this particular point? I think so. The question is, why do we serve and why do we worship? And the answer to that question is going to take on many shapes and colors in a group this size. It really will. The answer for why people will serve and worship God, hey, it's going to be a different one for perhaps each of us. Now, that's a sad thing, but it's true. If we're honest, if we're really honest about the reasons why we serve and worship God, because some might say, hey, I serve because there's a need. There's needs to be met. So I serve to meet those needs. That's good. That's a great thing. That's an awesome thing. Some might say, hey, I really have no fulfillment in my life other than serving God and worshiping him. Excellent. It's a good one. A nice reason. Others might say, if I don't do it, nobody else will. I've used that one. I used that one for years. Oh, Lord, I have to do this because nobody else is going to do it. Some say they serve and worship because they want to see people get saved. It's great. That's a great reason. Others think it's just what they're supposed to do, which is probably a mass majority of Christians. We're supposed to do it. This is what we're supposed to do. We worship and we serve and do stuff. Why? We're Christian. And, well, that's what we do. Why? Because we're Christians. And this is what we're supposed to do, you see. Now, as noble as some of these things are, as good as they might seem, they're good reasons in our own thinking, perhaps. They will all, listen, all those reasons will lead to the same condition as these two sons of Aaron found themselves in. They lead to burnout. You will not be able to keep it up. See, the motivation we can often have for serving the Lord, guys, is self-serving motivation. So often, we're like these two, I think. You see, here's the situation. The tabernacle being dedicated, it had just ended. The people were astonished at the power of God, at the glory of the Lord. They had seen the fire, and they had already, listen, they had already worshiped him. They saw the fire. They had already shouted and fell to their faces. They had already worshiped. And then Nadab and Abihu, hey, these two guys, they see this happening as well, and they want to get in on the action, and so they bring more fire. More fire. Different fire. Strange fire. Now, what were they doing? Why were they doing this? Well, you have to figure one thing. This was a real event. It was really dynamic, what was happening that day. And when they saw that dynamic of God's power, they said, hey, that was cool. It was hot, really, but it was cool. The way that he did that, you see, fire from heaven, wow. And so they bring the fire of their own, and they started swinging their censers. Now, picture this now. What was going on there? Well, now the people, instead of being in awe of just sitting or standing or falling to their face, looking at the glory of God and being impressed with him, what's going on now? They're looking over at Nadab and Abihu, swinging their... I mean, you can see these guys. Look.
Fire.
You see. Incense. Look at it. And they are bringing, of course, attention to themselves. And they took the eyes of the people and shifted them from looking upon God's glory to looking upon them. And they wanted the people to see what they were doing. We're spiritual. We're the sons of Aaron. We're spiritual guys. And here, not even considering, you see, what they were doing in the face of the Lord, this was totally out of place. Had no place. It was all about them. Verse 3 of this chapter 10, Moses says, this is it. That the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near unto me, and before all the people I will be glorified. God said, the glory is mine, and the people need to look upon me, you see. And they were doing this, guys. They were lighting their fire, swinging their incense censers. They were doing that without considering the Lord. He had no part in this. They had a very short-lived ministry because of that. They didn't go very far in ministry. Keep in mind, they've only been consecrated a week. And boy, we look at this and we go, yeah, Lord, but still, my goodness. That was kind of radical. I mean, you burn these guys to crispy critters. I mean, they are fried for this. The Lord often does something radical when he's trying to make a point, doesn't he? You know, we're glad, aren't we, that worship or serving in the wrong way doesn't end this way for us always, aren't we? It's kind of like Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. Remember them? God tried to make a point there too, didn't he? They sold property, remember, and gave the money to the church, and they made it seem as though they gave all the money they sold, but they didn't. They kept some of it. And they presented the money to Peter, and Peter looked at him, said, is this all the money? Yep. And Peter said, well, the men are coming to carry you out. And God killed him there And then his wife came in, Ananias' wife Sapphira came in, and Peter asked her the same thing, and the same thing happened. God makes a point, and then he doesn't do it again. I like that. I'm glad it was Nadab and Abihu. I'm glad it was Ananias and Sapphira, aren't you? Because Ananias and Sapphira were hypocrites. Aren't you glad that every time you're a hypocrite, that doesn't happen to you? But here's the thing. These two guys, their ministry was short-lived. Bam, cut short. And by the way, if you want the things you're doing for the Lord, if you want your ministry opportunities, your serving, to come to a screeching halt, guys, start thinking that you have something to do with it. And watch what happens to your ministry opportunities. Make it something other than Jesus that you're exalting in your serving, and see if the same thing doesn't happen to you. See if you don't burn out like these two did. Now, these two guys, these two sons of Aaron, they've got many followers. Not only the nation Israel followed after them, but many Christians have tried to do this. It's a common thing, and I share this with you because this is something you can do personally. We can do as a church. Groups can do it. And it's wrong. And it's easy to do. This is why I bring it up. It was easy for these guys. Weren't even thinking about it, seemingly. They just kind of did it. But what were they doing? Well, they were trying to imitate what God had just done. He brings fire. They bring fire. Look what God just did in this service. Wow, let's do that. So you have Christian groups, churches, people trying to imitate other movements of God because they think that that's the key. Like these two, you see, seeing the fire come down and then trying to imitate it, you see. And oftentimes, guys, our censors can be swinging. We can be waving our censors with strange fire in them. Oftentimes we worship and serve for what we can get. I know that this is so. I've done it many times. Some of you perhaps are here because you want to see what you can get out of this. What can I get out of that? You know? And I go try churches to see what I can get out of it. And if I don't get what I want out of it, I don't go there anymore. Because I didn't get what I wanted. Getting what you want doesn't have anything to do with worshiping God. Just for your information. Having it your way is Burger King, not God the Father. We worship God because he's worthy of worship, because he's God. We serve him because of the holy fire that he's ignited our lives with. And like Jeremiah, who preached for 40 years and not one person was converted. Man, talk about a dry ministry. 40 years the man preached. Nobody got saved. Nobody came up and said, hey, good word, Jeremiah. Nobody. And he found himself sitting there in a dungeon and saying to himself, that's it. I'm never talking about God again. Nobody's listening anyway. And then he says this. He said, but then the word was like fire in my bones. And I could not help it. I couldn't help myself. And he went on preaching. He just kept preaching because fire was in his bones. Fire was igniting his heart, and he couldn't help it. It didn't matter whether anybody was listening or not. Was he getting his way? No. His way was, give me plenty of people, Lord. I want a full church, and I want people lining up to get saved. Didn't happen for him. The fire was still there. And worship, guys, is for God. It's not for you. The flavor. Find a flavor you like. It doesn't matter what flavor you like. It doesn't matter what kind of instruction perhaps you like. That's fine. You go get fed where you're going to get fed and worship where you want to worship. But the point is this: worship when you're there. Don't just say, well, this is my flavor. Because oftentimes, like these two, your flavor, like theirs, hey, this is my flavor. This is my flavor of fire. I'll light my own. It will cause you to dry up, burn out, and blow away. How often this happens? Many times, you see, we worship for what we can get. We come to God with desires and requests and things of our own, but we have not bowed our wills to Him. And the only acceptable worship to God is to say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. And if we do that, you see, then you see the fire is from the altar. It takes the fire from the altar, though, by the way, to say that. We don't have that within us. We are just like these two guys. We are self-seeking so often. We just want God to give me what I want. I just want, Lord, give me what I want. And sometimes we go to church for that purpose. And Lord, I've come here. Now, I made some requests. I've got some things I want. So, come on. Come on, Lord. Give me what I want. I want to see things happen. I want to see it happen. Service to God, you see, has to come because there's fire in my bones that came from the altar of God. When Jesus Christ is remembered by me and His Holy Spirit ignites, empowers me, then I can serve without burning out. I can burn without sizzling. And we're not to stand in judgment of these two guys. Heaven forbid that we would look at these guys and go, what do they think they're doing? I mean, this is what we do so often. We're not to imitate them for sure, though. We're to learn from their experience. And we're to observe this in ourselves. And guys, when you see somebody who's burnt out and they're all over the place, pray for them. Don't judge them. If someone's doing things for the wrong reasons, pray for them. If you're doing things for the wrong reasons, pray. Lord, correct me, you see. Remind me of this truth. But most importantly, guys, most importantly, remember Jesus Christ. Because somewhere in the mix of all this, He was lost. People were looking at them. And Moses instructed Aaron, their own father, not to mourn and grieve. He looked at Aaron and said, this is it. This is what God spoke of. If you're going to draw near to me, God says, then I will be the one sanctified. I will be glorified, not you. And it's a sobering thing. The Apostle Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, it's the love of Christ that constrains me, that moves me. It's the altar of fire that makes me do what I do. It's His fire in me, His love for me that motivates me, that moves me. By the way, it wasn't Paul's love for the Lord that made him serve, and it can't be your love for the Lord that makes you serve. I used to think that that was what it was. It's my love, my deep devotion to God that makes me serve so diligently. It's not my love for Him. Why can't it be that? How do you know that's not true? Because here's the problem. My love, my devotion, my desire, you see, my inner fulfillment, or any other reason I might have to serve God changes daily. I might feel like it today, might not feel like it tomorrow. I might love the Lord passionately today, but tomorrow I might be dry as a bone. And then what happens? Well, then He's not served. And He's not worshiped. If it's up to me, guys, I have no way to keep going. I will burn out every time and have done so many, many, many times. It's his love for me that constrains me, Paul said. It's Christ's love for me that moves me. Why? Because his love never changes. It never wavers. It never is affected. It's not affected by me not doing what I ought to do. It's not affected by me when I sin. It's not affected by me when I goof, when I blow it, when I don't have the devotion, when I don't have enough, you see, to move me. He moves me anyway. It's him. And if I'll sanctify him by saying, Lord, have your way, and whatever I do, whatever I might seek in serving him, in worshiping him, as long as, you see, it's him that's being glorified in it, it's him that's being looked upon, then that's great. But listen, as soon as I do something that draws people's attention away from looking at God and looking at me, then I know, you see, I've got fire that came from somewhere else. Isn't it interesting that fire is used as a means that God brings judgment and acceptance and other things as well? But fire is also used as a description of hell. This element of worship and serving is very, 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 very closely linked. And there's a line you just don't cross. Because you can be serving with fire from on high. Or there might be some hellfire that you're grabbing. Because this was Satan's demise, wasn't it? He's the one there in Isaiah declared, I will be like the Most High. Boy, fire, power. And of course, now he's the king of fire. He's the prince of fire, isn't he? The wrong kind of fire. Strange fire. Hellish fire. That's exactly what it is, guys. When you're drawing things upon yourself, attention, eyes, and anything that draws that, that God deserves only, glory and sanctification, setting apart him, exalting him, if it pulls people away from him and upon you, it's hellish fire. It's strange fire. And God says, no, no, I will be exalted. I will be honored. I will be sanctified. Not you in this. If you're going to draw near to me. And anything I do, I pray, you see, Lord, burn it up if it's not right. Burn that out of me if it's not right. I ought not to come to worship or minister trying to get something out of it or try to make myself look more spiritual. Good grief, you guys know me better than that. It's not about us. It's not about how good you look, how good you act, how other people view you. It's not about that. It's about God. Is he glorified in this place, in your life? And if he is, great. If he's not, have him burn it up, whatever it might be. You see, I came to this conclusion a while back. You'll be impressed, I'm sure. I came to the conclusion that I'm not impressive. Now, that may come to a shock as to some of you. You might think, well, I'm not impressive at all. I'm not the least bit impressive. And you know what? It freed me up. I took a deep breath and went, wow, I'm not impressive at all. And nor do I have to be. Because, you see, my God that I serve is very impressive. He is so, I am impressed with him. You know, we sing that song, Holy Fire, Burn Away. Burn away, Lord, all those things that are not of you, but are of me. Any desire, anything I have that's of me, burn it away. And Lord, only the things of you, let those remain. Fill me up, you know, with you. And I'd encourage you to make that a prayer today. That's a great thing. That's a great prayer. Look at him. Be impressed with him, you see. Because frankly, we're not impressive. You're not impressive either. I am impressed with one thing with you folks, and that is what God's doing in you. And if you come back after this teaching, I'll be really impressed with what he's doing in you. Because the thing is, we in and of ourselves, we can't do this. We don't know how to worship on our own. We will do exactly like they did if it's up to us. We'll come and fling our censers and wave our censers around and say, hey, look, I'm spiritual. I got fire. I got fire. Everybody will go, whoa, look at him. Well, sadly, the reality is that they may look at you like they were looking at Nadab and Abihu that day and go, whoo, wow, are they going to be torched? Are they going to be cooked? Is their ministry going to die? Are they going to be dry? I shouldn't come near unto the Lord. This is the point. I shouldn't come near unto the Lord without seeking his glory. I have no business. He says it very plainly. Those that come near to me must sanctify me. And I will be glorified among the people. And if I worship, guys, my God, then you will see him and give glory. When Jesus ministered on this earth, do you understand that when people saw Jesus do a miracle, it always says, without exception, and the people glorified God. He had an amazing way to minister miraculously, and everybody looked at the Father and said, wow. Amazing thing. So, worship and serve with the fire from off the altar. Jesus, his sacrifice. Approach God only in that way. And don't burn out. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word and the way that you are so faithful at showing us and instructing us. Our worship of you, Lord, may it always be for your glory. No matter how it's manifested, Lord, I can worship you in my closet or in my car. I can worship you here. I can worship you walking down the street. It doesn't matter where or how, because it's a matter of bowing my will and saying, Lord, you be set apart, you be sanctified, you be glorified, and I'll worship at your feet, and you have your way. And may people see you, Lord, as a result of my serving. May they glorify you as a result of my worship, not me. May I not draw attention away from your glory by the things I do for you, so to speak. Thanks for being patient and forgiving, Lord, for not burning us up when we do this so wrongly. But you're so gracious and merciful. I just pray, Father, that we would have hearts to worship, be those that would offer up the fire from the altar, not strange fire, not our own energy, our own working up of something that we think is spiritual and righteous, but simply remember Jesus. That's our love and motivation to do what we do, to serve as we should, to worship you with everything we have. We pray this, Lord. We commit it to you. Thanks for loving us and taking such good care of us. We thank you for all these things and commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, the prayer room's right over in the corner, and there's elders in there to love to pray with you. So God bless you guys. See you tonight if you come out. God bless.